From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The American Museum of Natural History announced this week that it would no longer host a gala honoring Brazil's ultra-right-wing president Jair Bolsonaro. The museum had come under fire for allowing another organization to host an event on its premises for a leader who has pledged to devastate Brazil's environmental standards. While the cancellation made news headlines in major U.S. publications, what received far less coverage were the three recent massacres in late March and early April in two Amazon states that resulted in at least 9 deaths over the period of just 2 weeks. The violence was exactly what indigenous groups and environmentalists worried would happen under Bolsonaro's regime. My guest is Sue Branford, author of Amazon Besieged, a contributor to MangaBay.com and a former BBC correspondent. She's traveled to the heart of the Amazon. Welcome to the program, Sue.
Thank you, Sonali.
So first, tell us exactly what you think happened and what is known about what happened in these three separate incidents that took place late March, early April, two of them in the state of Pará, one of them in the state of Amazonas. Who were killed? Who was killed and who were the perpetrators?
We still are not really sure exactly how many have been killed, because that's something you're feeling very strongly now in the Amazon, that local people in the neighborhood are feeling fearful, frightened to speak to the press, even frightened to speak to the authorities. But what we do know is that there were some people in a squatters camp. This was the one in the west of the Amazon basin, Amazonas, right on the border with Rondônia, who had occupied this area quite legally under Brazil's laws and were hoping to turn it into a proper land settlement. But there are land thieves, landowners who are eyeing up this land, and they decided with the present climate of lawlessness under the Bolsonaro government that it was a good moment to go in and try and get these people out. So they went in, they've had some resistance, but we think they cleared quite a lot of people off the land. And the government appears to have done nothing. We think at least three people were killed and there's more missing. And I think this is what is really worrying in the Amazon now, this sort of climate of lawlessness. Since Bolsonaro came to power in January, the landowners and the land thieves feel they've got an ally, head of government, and they can get away with these kind of acts that previously would have been combated by the government. So we're seeing a lot of violence. I was in Brazil in the Amazon earlier this year, and you could feel the change, that people were very careful before they spoke to you. The environmentalists, activists, we're all feeling that it's Brazil is moving into a very dangerous phase. So while we've had these three massacres that did get reported in the press, and it's interesting that they were all in areas which are right on the edge of the Amazon frontier, where the land thieves and the landowners are trying to move in, and they're very remote areas. So it's very difficult to get accurate information out as exactly what is happening.
You write in MangaBay.com, where you reported on these massacres, that the areas where the violence has taken place are areas of heavy deforestation, where the building of large dams has brought a cap infusion, sent land prices soaring, and invited land speculation by land grabbers, loggers, and ranchers. How much of this has been unleashed by Bolsonaro?
It was happening before. Whenever you get a new big development project, land prices tend to go up and you tend to get conflict. What is new is that the land thieves and the landowners and the loggers feel that they've got this window of opportunity. They're not even really sure if Bolsonaro will manage to hang on to government very long. I mean, he's getting unpopular already, and he's extremely right-wing. I think many Brazilians thought during the electoral campaign that all this talk about being an ally of the military dictatorship that ruled Brazil in the 1970s, that this was all a bit talk, rhetoric. But now he's in power, he is being extremely repressive. And he's gone, it's not just the military ideology, though that is bad enough, but he's actually gone back and he has embraced the military views in overdevelopment. I mean, the military in the 1970s, and I was actually, it was my first job, I was reporting in the Amazon in the 1970s under the military. And they had this idea, which was common in at that time, that nature was an enemy, that you had to go in, build roads, have big development projects, and harness the resources of the Amazon for the good of Brazil. So it was seen as sort of a battle between nature and progress. And over the last 40 years, all over the world, these views have been challenged and they've changed. People are realizing that you've got to work with nature, that we have destroyed too much forest, and we're doing so much damage to the ecosystem that we are entering a phase of extremely worrying climate change and reduction in the number and the biodiversity all over the world. So views have changed radically over this period. And it seemed that this had happened in Brazil. I mean, in the 1988, Brazil had a new constitution after the military stepped down, which embraced a lot of these progressive views, particularly with respect to the Indians. Until then, the official policy of the Brazilian government had been to integrate the Indians, to make them like other Brazilians, to assimilate them so that they lost their indigenous identity. And this constitution was the first time that the Brazilian authorities recognized that, first of all, the Indians were the original inhabitants and had the right to their land. And secondly, that the Indians had the right to continue with their old way of life, with their old culture, with their old language. And it was an enormous step forward. And after that, the Indians gained a lot more reserves, a lot more control over their old traditional areas. And now Bolsonaro is trying to turn the clock back, is trying to get the Indians off their land so that you can have agribusiness and mining, using the land profitably, right, productively, as he says. And so we're having sort of new conflicts.
Right. So earlier this year in February, we had heard of the massive dam collapse in a different part of the country, the Brumadinho Dam that collapsed, killing hundreds of people with hundreds more missing. And in the areas where we've seen some of the attacks taking place in late March, early April that we're talking about, I understand, we're also around mining and dam operations. Are these, as far as you can tell, organized private companies that are engaging the services of, you know, so-called security guards or hitmen, basically? Or are these more isolated local incidents or conflicts?
I think what we've seen in Brazil, and there has been an unease about this, is a deterioration in the controls and the inspections of these big dams. There's been such a rush into building dams and opening up mining projects. They've been very poorly regulated. In Brumadinho, there had been, for the last 2 years, people had alerted the government that this dam was getting dangerous, and it was being propped up by the coming in, just throwing on more earth in the wall. And people and engineers were saying, this is not good enough. One day this dam is going to burst. And it happened. And we thought at the time, after Brumadinho happened, that the government would increase environmental standards, because there's other dams in that region and other parts of Brazil which also had question marks raised about them. But the government hasn't been doing this. The government is actually, after a pause, is now rushing through Congress legislation that will weaken our environmental controls and the safety standards. I mean, we are actually in a quite dangerous and unprecedented territory in Brazil at the moment, with so much happening, so many reverses on the environmental front, that it's quite hard to keep up with it. I mean, people are reacting. Next week, there's going to be a big indigenous protest in the capital, Brasilia. I think particularly among the Indians, because Indians have got such a strong link with their land, and this is where their ancestors were buried, this is where the spirits dwell, they will resist very strongly attempts to evict them off their land. And a lot of them remember the terrible times they had during the military dictatorship, when it now emerges that about 7,000 Indians were killed. It was all hushed up at the time. And they are going to resist very, very strongly now any attempt to evict them off their land. And there are alliances forming. I mean, Bolsonaro won't get it completely his way. But I mean, what worries me particularly about the Amazon is that we're just going in the wrong direction at a time when the world can't afford this. I mean, Brazil had, during 2005 to 2015, had managed to bring down quite radically the rate at which the Amazon forest was being cut down. And now it's all increasing again. And I mean, scientists are warning that already almost 20% of the Amazon forest has been felled. And they're saying that if the percentage of felled forest goes to about 25%, then it's very likely the Amazon forest will not be big enough to be sustainable, and will quite quickly probably flip over, at least part of it will flip over into being to some kind of savanna. And this would have a huge impact on the world's climate, because the Amazon forest, that the more scientists study it, the more they realize that the Amazon forest plays a key role in stabilizing the world's climate. Apart from the fact that all greenhouse gases that are going to be released into the atmosphere, I mean, huge amounts of greenhouse gases, if the Amazon forest starts flipping over into a savanna. So, I mean, it's not just a problem of Brazil going through a bad period and that is affecting very seriously Brazil. It's now a kind of global crisis which is going to affect us all. And it just does not make sense when we're all waking up to the fact we've got to move very quickly to try and reduce the production of greenhouse gases, to have the rate of forest felling increasing in the Amazon. I mean, this surely is one of the things that the easy things we can do to bring down greenhouse gases.
And in fact, I know that as you and I are talking, the city of London has been the site of a massive rebellion by the group Extinction Rebellion all this week. There have been hundreds of arrests. People have been blocking streets, blocking Waterloo Bridge. So certainly there are people that are trying to draw attention to the urgency of climate change. I want to hone in a little bit more on the details of what's happening specifically within Brazil, though, and focus in on those people that we know have actually been killed in those three massacres. Among them are activist leaders. You write about a woman named Gilma Ferreira Silva, who sounds like was brutally murdered. Tell us a little bit about her and about any of the other people that you know have been killed. Does it seem as though leaders are being targeted? You know, people who are seen as those who are organizing against the encroachment of landowners and mining operations.
Main activist, and knew that, yet she sort of went on organizing, and she was just brutally murdered. And then there was another massacre very close by of two more people, who, and it seems that it was the same landowner who was behind both of them. And these people were not particularly leaders, but they were aware that the landowner was, in fact, so they said, was involved in some kind of drug trafficking, and they were not willing to go along with it. And so it seems he wanted to shut them up. And in the Rondônia, in the area in Rondônia near the state of Amazonas, that it was also leaders who are being targeted. I mean, these are not what the government is trying to say insofar as it is commenting on these kind of massacres, though it's infighting between groups in the Amazon. It's not that. It's that leaders who are being targeted, people who the movements will miss greatly in their efforts to try and sort of organize resistance. And it's these massacres are not really being, they are being reported in the Brazilian press, but on the back pages with very little emphasis, because it's such a long way away. Brazil is such a big country, and so these conflicts are occurring thousands of miles from São Paulo and Rio and Brasilia, and Brazil is very involved in the political conflicts at the moment. And so this is a moment when these gunmen know that they can get away with this violence.
I understand that at least according to Al Jazeera, which was one of the few international outlets that reported on these massacres, that in one of the attacks that took place in Pará, it was found that a family that was being shot at returned fire and happened to kill couple of the gunmen, one of whom was a military police sergeant that may have been hired, basically a hired hitman. And I'm wondering if you think that that is the sort of thing that happens, that you have these military men who, because they have information and they're connected to local authorities, are able to, get these lucrative contracts to kill environmentalists, kill indigenous leaders.
Yes, because the landowner was moving in to evict these people without a judicial order. I mean, if he'd had a judicial order, maybe the military police could have gone in with him, but he did not. Mm-hmm. So he was contracting some of these policemen as a militia, really, on a freelance basis, to go with them and do the violence. I mean, this kind of thing is not infrequent in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. And none of them, as far as we know, none of them have been arrested. The governments, we've been trying to get comments from the governments or reactions, but they're just saying they're sort of waiting to the investigation and so on. And you get the feeling it will just sort of disappear and we won't get sort of proper investigations.
What about the fact that Bolsonaro was sort of publicly humiliated internationally when the Natural History Museum here in the United States decided to not allow an event honoring him to go forward? Critics pointed out that, a natural history museum is, the goal of it is to preserve our environment in the interest of science and humanity, and that it didn't make sense for them to have an event that was honoring a leader like Bolsonaro, and they actually did the right thing. Does that indicate a growing global consensus that Bolsonaro should be kept at arm's length?
I think so. But there's no indication that this will in any way affect Bolsonaro's behavior. In fact, he is sort of presenting himself as some kind of nationalist who wants to get rid of internationalists who are in the country. I mean, he has said that he's going to move against sort of NGOs, international NGOs who work in Brazil, and he's presenting himself as very much a sort of a strong man who is resisting international pressure. But there are sections of the government who are increasingly concerned about the international image. And I think the government is divided. I think the people who are actually more and more running the government actually are the military. I mean, he has appointed 100 military officers to quite important roles, some of them very important roles in his government. And while Bolsonaro is always writing tweets and attracting attention and saying defiant things, it increasingly is the military who are taking key decisions. And the military are efficient. But the military still have these very old-fashioned ideas about development, that their role is to go in and create infrastructure, to set up big mining projects, to build hydroelectric dams, to develop Brazil. I mean, I interviewed the current Minister of Transport last year, just before he was appointed minister, actually. And he was quite an impressive person. He had extraordinary control of the information. But when at the end I tried to ask him, what about the environmental costs, the social costs of these big projects that you want to get set up in the Amazon? He just said, well, that's not my brief. My brief is to create infrastructure and to develop Brazil. And it just feels so outdated. But these are the people who are taking a lot of decisions, that and the environment and the economics minister, Paulo Guedes, in a way, Bolsonaro, who keeps on creating faux pas and slipping on banana skins, as they say in Brazil. I mean, he is becoming a bit of a sideshow. While the real business of government is being carried out by other people.
Well, Sue, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and helping to shed some light on these issues. We'll link to your works, your recent writings on mongabay.com from our website. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Sonali. Thanks.
My guest has been Sue Branford. She's written the book Amazon Besieged. She's a contributor to mongabay.com. We've been discussing the recent massacres in the Amazon region in Brazil that have gone largely unreported, especially here in the U.S. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.